I think the people that do show up on Sunday, the only way more people are going to show up on Sunday is if people that do show up live out what it means to be a Christian in a good, positive way.
Welcome to The Dismantle, creating community, not converts.
Hello and welcome to Dismantle Podcast, a place for community, not converts. I'm your host, Joey. On this show, we attempt to dismantle an issue that poses as problematic for the church by having a conversation with a guest who has insight or experience with that subject. Now, we're not always going to agree, and that's okay, but we're not going to argue because our goal is to build bridges and not barriers. And our guest today is Guthrie Graves Fitzsimmons. Guthrie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Joey. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, I'm glad we got to connect. Thank you for joining us on the show. And, you know, for our listeners who are not familiar with you, can you give us a little bit about who you are and some of the work that you do?
Sure thing. I live in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm a native Texan, though. And my whole life, I've been really interested in the intersection of my faith, my Christian faith, and politics and activism. And so that started out when I was young, my parents are both labor union organizers, and I was raised in the church, and I just really took to the social ethics side of our Christian life together, and studied religion and politics in college and seminary, and have been working in this area for about 10 years. And I released my first book about kind of the work I've been doing and the progressive Christian movement in September of last year.
That's fantastic. I'm excited that actually does tie to what we're talking about a little bit today. And I love the way you worded that, that, you know, there is a progressive movement. There is a change that we're seeing. And some of that change is solely connected to where we park ourselves every 7 days. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about church decline today. Now, Guthrie, when we say church decline, I'm sure various things pop into various people's minds. For the sake of our conversation, what do we mean when we say church decline? Is it just attendance, or does it mean something a little bit more inclusive?
What I think about is a general kind of pervasive cultural fear and angst that I sense in a lot of churches, that people aren't going to church anymore. People don't care about church. You don't have to go to church. And especially for younger, this is expressed by older generations, for younger generations, this, why aren't they coming to church? And there's a lot of different ways you can kind of measure it. But to me, it's something that, and I've been doing all these different Zoom kind of book talks, and it comes up in every single one, even though my book deals with church decline, but that's not the sole focus. People really want to know, you know, why aren't the young people coming to church? And so to me, it's a kind of big issue. It took kind of specific focus recently. Gallup, the public opinion research firm, came out with a poll that showed the majority of Americans for the first time ever do not hold membership in a house of worship. And so that kind of set off another round of, oh my gosh, we're becoming, you know, majority non-church going society. And that's, and it's always presented in this kind of fear-based negative way.
Right. It's not something that, you know, everybody's really on board with. It's also associated, I think, with the decline of culture. And I say that tongue in cheek, not necessarily condemning it, but, you know, from that side of the aisle, there is this fear, there is this hesitancy about where culture and church are going. But, you know, you'd have to be an idiot to look back and not realize that COVID had a giant hand to play in that. What role did 2020 and various lockdowns contribute to that lack of return to a house of worship every 7 days?
That's a great question. And obviously, there was a massive, massive drop off in people going to church in person. You know, almost every church, except a few of the more, you know, really extreme fundamentalists who protested the shutdown orders and demanded to meet, you know, and twisted religious freedom to demand their right to you know, not comply with the government. That was just a few kind of extremists. So most people shut down. But And then there's this question of, will people come back as people have adjusted to maybe having more time on Sundays and found other things to fill their time? But what I, two things have stuck out to me during the pandemic. The first is that churches have really innovated. I've been amazed by, I think before the pandemic, we associated broadcasting your worship service and, you know, doing all these technical things with different camera angles and, you know, production value to the more conservative and televangelist. And there was a negative connotation around all of that. And so churches, through necessity, had to innovate. And I've seen that in my own church, Highland Baptist Church here in Louisville, where we have really, I think, innovated in how we do ministry in exciting and ways that will extend long. Like, we're going to continue. We just went back in person for the first time this past weekend, and we're going to continue broadcasting and continue meeting people in different ways, so that people that don't have church communities, maybe where they are looking for them and connecting with them in new and different ways. I've had family members who had left their church because of the church's discrimination against LGBTQ people, and during the pandemic have actually found new worshiping communities across the country because they found a church they really liked and could do it online. And so the second thing is that I think it's reinforced the need for community and social solidarity. And that's what I get out of going to church myself, and why I've been a regular every Sunday, almost, I shouldn't say every, most Sunday church goer my entire life, which is the sense of being in community with people who are committed to the same cause, who are listening for the word of God to direct them towards the transformation of the world. And so I've missed kind of that physical community. And I think there will be, like, I'm ready to go back right away at the same time. While, so it will be different, and maybe, you know, it'll be different people showing up. But I think for many, the pandemic has been a moment of realizing what's important in life and reorienting your values. And church for me is a big part of that.
I think a lot of people are in that similar boat where they recognize that even though this is convenient, even though there was, you know, almost a fad to it where we just do church online because we have to, there is that missing element of community. And, you know, for right, wrong, or indifferent, church basically has that baked into its DNA. Mm-hmm. Like, you're with people every 7 days. And I don't think a lot of people realized how crucial that aspect was, despite all the toxic and problematic things that we can see within certain organizations of faith. But, you know, what's staggering is not only the absence of people, but the statement that a lot of them no longer have a religious preference. I think they call them the nones, N-O-N-E-S. What do you think is underneath that, where people not only have walked out of church, but walking away from religious affiliation altogether?
I think first and foremost, we need to recognize that people leave church with good reason. That good people, who oftentimes the gospel, you know, they're committed to the gospel, they're committed to their Christian values, they believe in God, they have a strong faith, leave the church because the church does not represent the gospel well. The church is not a reflection of the ministry, the life of teaching of Jesus Christ. And so many people have been harmed by the church, whether they are women, LGBTQ, people of color, you know, kind of identity-based violence and discrimination that the church often inflicts, or also just the church being a bureaucratic place where it's inward focused and not really active as living out the gospel in the community and the world, which I think is so important to Christian life. And so I come back to the nuns are leaving church often with good reason, and the response is not to be, you know, bemoan that or look down on people, but to more fully live out the gospel. I think the people that do show up on Sunday, the only way more people are going to show up on Sunday is if people that do show up live out live out what it means to be a Christian in a good, positive way. So I think there are some people that like leave church because they become atheists. That's a very, very small number. And if you look at polling, you see that the nuns are a large group. Some people say a quarter of the American population now doesn't say they identify with a religious group. But atheists are a very small portion of even that group. And so we don't need to conflate like people are becoming atheists, leaving church, are done with Christianity, with people are disaffiliating with Christianity. And if you look at the numbers, it really corresponds to when the religious right became a very prominent force in American life. And so I hear all the time, you know, you're a Christian, you go to church, and people are kind of, their eyes bug out. And I'm like, yes, I do. And then I tell them about, you know, what our church does, and I tell them about why I'm a Christian, and they really like it and I want to know more, and, you know, ask me when, if they can come to church. And so they're responding to that larger kind of cultural piece as well of conservative Christianity really being a powerful force, and a powerful force with former President Trump, especially.
Right. And I think it even goes back further than that. Like, even when that realm started more with the baby boomer generation and the Gen X, there was this spike over 50% of people in membership at a local church. But now with millennials, it's probably under, I think a recent statistic was around 36%. Do you think that it was a generational thing only? I mean, obviously we're talking in the context of a desire for community and a desire for whole relationships and justice within the world. But do you think that there was just this cultural aspect of, hey, I'm in America and we're largely a Protestant nation, therefore I go to church? Is that what's underneath that?
There was definitely a cultural norm of going to church, and that was the, you know, default. And so if you didn't, that was an active choice. And it's a good thing to me that is changing, that the people that are coming to church, especially in younger generations, are there because we want to be there. And it would be perfectly kind of culturally appropriate to not go to church. Nobody in my family or my kind of social circles would be surprised. I mean, maybe they'd be surprised about me in particular, since I went to seminary and like do all this work. But I mean, generally, sort of people in my social circles, not going to church is not a big deal. And so I do think that that's both a change generationally and a change that is good for the church and society, that people have freedom of conscience to go or not go. And then that the church is over time going to be more and more people that actually want to be there. But I do think, to your point about the decline in membership and attendance, is across the board. It's not just younger people. So that's a kind of misperception that the data disproves. We're seeing older people not go, younger people, and just across the board decline in those kind of key markers of religiosity. And that goes back to the fact that, there's less of a cultural norm, that there are so many other things pulling on people's time, and the kind of move away from institutional affiliation at large, like other kind of formal institutions where people used to affiliate, like different, in older generations, different clubs they were a part of, have also declined as people, live more individual lives. So there are kind of trends. It's not just the story of younger people rebelling against their parents.
Now, how does this change across ethnic lines? I mean, this is primarily from your and my experience, correct me where I'm wrong, but this is primarily a white church, maybe the Baptist and non-denominational environments. How does this change when it changes denominations, when it changes ethnicities, regions of the country? Obviously, we're speaking to America, but, how does this affect the worldwide aspect of church attendance?
That's a great question. We're seeing, I think it's playing out differently around the world. There are contexts in which Christianity is declining faster, and those in which it is growing. I would say within the United States and across ethnic lines, we often hear about church decline as a kind of problem of, usually are people talking about white mainline Protestant churches singled out as like those declining the fastest. But the story is everyone is declining. The Southern Baptist Convention, historically Black denominations, across ethnic lines in the Catholic Church, we're seeing decline. In the Catholic Church, the parishes that are declining less are Hispanic, our majority Hispanic Catholic churches, largely immigrant populations that are kind of not declining as fast. But the decline overall, the Catholic decline is actually the sharpest of any faith group. And so we are seeing kind of overall across Christianity decline. Interestingly enough, the one kind of faith group that's growing very fast in the United States is Muslim American growth, is increasing very fast. Of course, it's a very small pot. It's like 1% of the population, but it is growing. So it's not all kind of religion in general. There is the caveat of the Muslim population. Within that, the Hispanic Muslim population is growing the fastest.
Now, within some of your writing, you've suggested that as interesting as of a topic as this is not what we should be focused on, but it should be something completely other, that we shouldn't necessarily be focused on church decline, but there might be another option to move forward. Can you unpack that a little bit for us?
Sure. I grew up in the Methodist Church before I went to kind of an interdenominational seminary, Union Theological Seminary, New York City, and now Baptist, but I love the way the United Methodist Church articulates its mission, and it's the making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. So I think that the discipleship process is an important one. I took a course on evangelism in seminary about inviting people into Christian identity and belonging, but we can't lose sight of the fact that the mission is for the transformation of the world, that the earth as it is in heaven, the kingdom of God here on earth. This is the kind of mission of the social gospel and everything that sort of in Methodism, you know, Wesley would call it social and personal holiness, the kind of living out the gospel for the transformation of the world. That's the mission of the church. And we lose sight of that when all of this kind of consternation about how many people are in the pews and who's calling themselves a Christian. I don't think Jesus was ever concerned with anybody calling themselves a Christian. That didn't seem to be anywhere near the priority list for Jesus. And when I read the Gospels, the whole kind of focus on and growing for the sake of growing a church doesn't make any sense to me. What makes sense to me, reading the Gospels and my own faith, is working for the transformation of the world and building a movement for social justice that embodies the gospel. And that does take people. And so inviting people into that mission, converting people that are already in the church to that mission, that so many churches are not focused on that work, is important. And we can do that with fewer people. We can do that in a multi-faith way with other faiths, where you don't view someone disaffiliating with the church as an attack on the church. They often, like I said earlier, they often disaffiliate with a good reason, because the church didn't do them justice. And so we can stay focused on the social justice mission, which I think is very exciting and draws people in. Just look at last summer's Black Lives Matter protests. They were the largest protests in American history. By some estimates, 10%, one in every 10 Americans participated in the Black Lives Matter movement went out and protested. That is incredible. That is beautiful. That is the gospel. That is living out freedom for the oppressed that, you know, Jesus ties his mission to in Luke 4, to Isaiah. That is what Christians should be known for. And if we were, as Christians, known for that, I think the whole church membership problem would go away, because there's no problem with younger people wanting to get involved in that work of social holiness. They just have probably never heard the term social holiness. All they've heard is purity culture, negativity, hating queer folks, you know, all this negative stuff about Christianity. And so that's what I think we should always be focused on, is living out the gospel for the transformation of the world, and trusting that God will work in people in that are already in the church, that are not in the church, to join us in that mission.
It's powerful. And so, as a first step, Guthrie, what do you think that, you know, people are listening to this and they say, yes, I'm on board, that sounds great, that actually aligns more with what I understand the gospel to be. How do I do that? What would you recommend that the church do to begin living that out? Because there's almost this paradox of choice. You could almost start anywhere, but if there was going to be something specific that you would recommend, what would that be?
I find my work mostly to be, I feel my calling to be working with progressive Christians who are called to this work and often feel so alone. And many of them, you know, don't even go to a formal church community, you know, are not in a pew, because like the family member I mentioned, there's not maybe a church that reflects what they see are gospel values in their community. And they are, and I feel this calling to connect people and to really empower people in their Christian life and living that out. And the one thing in the book that I really call on people to do is bring their faith into their activism. That so many people are compelled to be, they might have gone to a Black Lives, they probably, people that I'm talking to, almost definitely went to the Black Lives Matter protest last summer, are engaged in different kind of mission work in their community. And they oftentimes don't bring their faith into that. It's comes from a good place of like, I don't want to wear my faith on my sleeve, or I don't want to be hypocritical. But I encourage people to, whether if you're now a clergy person, you could just wear your, you know, clergy collar or stole or something to kind of live, bring attention to your faith publicly. But all of us lay people can't necessarily do that. And so what my grandmother used to do, I talk about in the book, and she passes down to me, would be write a Bible verse out on like a poster. We would go to a lot of protests growing up, and she would always have this like, you know, blessed are, we went to a lot of anti-Iraq war protests, because we, as the United States, illegally and immorally invaded Iraq when I was 13. And so that made a huge impression on me. And she would always have these signs that said, blessed are the peacemakers. And I love that. And I love that kind of living out your faith explicitly as a Christian publicly, and to live it out. And I think that will help change a lot of these dynamics where people haven't heard of progressive Christianity. People have, you know, there's my church will usually marches in Pride here in Louisville. This year, I heard Pride is being, because of COVID, being delayed to October, but we'll probably march again in October and kind of live out those values in public in a way that will show people there's another, there's people living out the gospel in a way that is true to the values that Jesus espoused in his ministry. So that's a first step to live that out, is to be engaged in activism as a Christian in your community and kind of be visible so that people get a different idea of what it means to be a Christian.
Those are great thoughts. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Can you tell us a little bit about the book and where we can connect with you online?
Wonderful. Yes. The book is available anywhere books are sold. It's called Just Faith, Reclaiming Progressive Christianity. I remind people in the kind of first half that there's a bold, long tradition of progressive Christianity going back to the social gospel, which was the basis of the New Deal and all of the kind of economic social safety net programs we have in our country, the civil rights movement, the reproductive rights movement, the LGBTQ rights movement, the immigrant rights movement, all everything we call today the progressive movement in the United States, Christians were very active in forming, in leading, and continue today. And then in the second half of the book, it's a call to my fellow progressive Christians to reclaim that bold tradition and, do what like Reverend Warnock does in Georgia, Reverend now Senator Raphael Warnock in Georgia, living out your faith in the public square in a bold and prophetic way. And that's also available on audiobook if you're on Audible or Kindle on your e-reader. It's available anywhere, any way you want to get it. And feel free to connect with me on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. My handle is Guthrie GF, and I look forward to connecting with all your listeners.
That's awesome. We'll throw it all in the show notes. But again, Guthrie, thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
And that wraps up this episode of The Dismantle. Until next time, don't complain about the things you're not willing to change.